Do you ever wonder what the chosen instrument of the future will be? As a guitar geek, I ponder this question quite frequently, and in today's episode of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you why the acoustic guitar is it. No question.
Are we going to be goofing off like this every day?
We're not goofing off. We're creating musical fusion.
Well, are we going to be creating musical fusion every day?
Yeah. Get used to it.
Yes, I am proclaiming that the acoustic guitar is indeed the instrument of the future, the chosen instrument of the future. In fact, I've found 5 pieces of evidence to prove my point, and I think you're going to be very surprised at number 3, because it certainly surprised me. Let's go ahead and dig in. Piece of evidence number 5, power or no power? It's powerful. Yes, whether or not the future has electricity in it or no electricity, we'll be well equipped if we have an acoustic guitar by our side. I think you'll agree with me that, yes, the acoustic guitar as an instrument itself is very self-sufficient. So if we live in a future with no electricity, we'll have no problem creating. And case in point, here's Russ Chapman playing on a gondola, a beautiful piece that he wrote.
As for my envy, oh, now this is sad. I seem to be content with just what I have. I'm gonna go exorcise my demons, so when I need them, they'll be there. And my wrath is frail and weak. I don't get mad, I just turn the other cheek. I'm gonna go exorcise my demons, so when I need them, they'll be there. Oh Lord, I'm gonna let them run wild, cause every once in a while I just wanna punch some suckers straight up in the face.
I always love hearing my friend Russ play. Now, I will have to amend that because I'm pretty sure those gondolas do operate on electricity. But if we just focus on Russ's playing, yes, the acoustic guitar is just fine by itself with no electricity. But what if the future doesn't have electricity, yet we have access to batteries? Well, that opens up a new world of creativity because of the Tonewood amp. Let's go ahead and listen to Mike Dawes describe the capabilities of the Tonewood amp.
On it. Yeah. Stuck to the back with magnets. This is insane.
So that's,
I have
just
a little magnet brace,
yeah,
so
cool.
Basically it just sticks on like that. So, super secure. And what it does is it takes the sound of your guitar and basically through vibrations, it vibrates the back surface of the guitar so reverb comes through the sound hole. It's crazy.
Oh, it's too freaky. We've killed the monitors in the room, right?
All you're hearing is the sound coming out of the sound hole.
Spooky!
Its reverb is being vibrated through the guitar's back, so it is coming out of the sound hole.
But it sounds like it's coming from over there or something.
And, dude, this thing has changed my life.
Yeah.
Right now, I've just selected delay. Now I've got delay coming out of the sound hole of the guitar.
Just to show how dry it goes, can you just let you go like strum,
yep.
Turn off, strum.
Without? How? Yeah, you want? That's the thing. That's the reaction. Once you play with it, you can't ever not play with it.
So yes, in a future where electricity may not be present, we are sufficiently creatively covered. However, what if the future does indeed hold electricity still, which I hope it does? Well, in that case, then the sky is the limit when it comes to creativity, and Billy Strings is a perfect example of this. Which proves my point. Power or no power, the acoustic guitar is indeed powerful. Let's move on to evidence item number 4. And that is, the acoustic guitar is essentially a band in a box. Yes, it handles all the acoustic guitar type things, like the strumming and playing the melody, etc. But you can pull so many different sounds and so many different effects out of an acoustic guitar, it is mind-blowing. It is truly one of the most versatile instruments that is around today, and likely in the future. And what better artist to go to see this in action is Adrian Belew. Here he is playing his song, Rainfall. absolutely love Adrian's playing, and I love that he exhibits how versatile the acoustic guitar is, indeed proving that it is a band in a box. Let's move on to our next piece of evidence, and this one really truly accounts for what the future might hold, and it has to do with space travel. Yes, space travel. The acoustic guitar is safe in space. You may have wondered this because, you know, the future might find us on other planets or orbiting the Earth. We don't really know. But rest assured, you can bring your six-string companion along, as did Chris Hadfield, a famous Canadian astronaut who is quite the musician himself. In fact, you'll see how safe the guitar is in space as he answers the question, how important is music to you? Here's Chris.
But the impact of music on my life has been enormous. You know, I was playing in a band once, and I watched kids that could just barely walk. You know, they're just learning to stand up. And when music starts to play, they just have to dance. It is fundamental to humanity, music. It's something primal and basic. And I've loved music my whole life. I bought my first guitar when I was about 9 or 10. Music has introduced me to strangers. It has allowed me to learn history of other cultures. It's allowed me to build self-discipline, to learn how all the different instruments work and how to play with an orchestra. My first music teachers, Mr. Taylor and Miss Soren, the way they taught me music, it's been something in my whole life, and it's made me laugh and it's made me cry. Music is something really important to me. Thanks for the question.
That video clip is striking for two reasons. Number one, the sentiment behind what he's saying and really how powerful music is. But also, as a guitar geek, as soon as you see him let go of the guitar for the first time, your heart sinks a little bit because you know what happens next. You know that big crash that sounds like that results from a guitar hitting the ground. Well, that doesn't happen in space. It just floats. He let go of the guitar. He lets go of the guitar. He lets go of the microphone. And voila, there he is just floating in sonic bliss. Let's move on to our next piece of evidence. Evidence piece number two, and that is material innovation. The acoustic guitar will usher us into the future because we are constantly innovating the materials used to create it. Case in point, check this out. We'll start with a familiar product, tone wood, right? Wood we actually source from forests. Well, right now, there is a scientific experiment going on between Taylor Guitars and Pacific Rim Tone Woods that I just read about. They're actually cloning maple trees. They found a maple tree that was a great example of what you would want out of a tone wood. Great sound, great figure. And they actually are cloning it, creating clones of that tree so they can literally have farms of tone wood. That is very predictable, sounds great, looks great, and makes great guitars. That sounds pretty futuristic, but it gets even better. Not to mention the talk of sustainable forestry practices, let's move on to the innovations in materials we've actually seen. We've seen guitars use tusk for the nut and saddle. That's a man-made ceramic-type material that does great at tonal translation. We've also seen Richlite used for bridges and fingerboards. Again, another man-made creation. And then we go to HPL, which is essentially wood shavings and a resin combined under high pressure to create back and side material and even top material in some cases. And I'd be a silly fool if I didn't mention carbon fiber. Yes, indeed, carbon fiber is, in my opinion, a material of the future because of its strength, because of its durability, but also because of its tonal shaping capabilities. Now, I never would have said this before, but I had a chance to talk with Alistair from Emerald Guitars just recently. We sat down and talked for about 40 minutes, and he was telling me, you know, carbon fiber is actually pretty you can actually form it and treat it in such a way to adjust the tone of the resulting guitar. In fact, during our interview, I took out this little segment to share with you all because I think it proves that very point. Here's Alistair.
To build a guitar. But the really great thing about it is you're setting all your outer parameters. So what you do internally inside the guitar and inside the mold is not set in stone. That's where we have an awful lot of flexibility to tailor the amount of carbon we put in there. We don't even have to use all carbon. We use other materials. You know, the different stiffnesses that we put into different areas, different thicknesses, different types of resin. You know, there's like a million different combinations of how you can put those things together. So that's where you can kind of get creative then and tonally to try and, you know, make the thing sound the way you want it to.
It was so cool to sit down with Alistair because I think the common misconception is, you know, all carbon fiber instruments sound the same. But after talking with him, I realized how much tonal tweaking actually can happen, and it's pretty astounding. So if you want to check out that full 40-minute interview, you're welcome to. Please visit acousticlife.tv/AT150. Now on to our very first piece of evidence that the acoustic guitar will usher us into the futurescape, if you will, and that is community. Throughout my entire guitar journey, I've noticed that the acoustic guitar, as an inanimate physical object, has this uncanny ability to create community around it. And if I know anything, we need community. We've needed it in our history, we need it now, currently, and we will certainly need community in our future. So yes, community is a big deal, and the acoustic guitar is the conduit for that very thing. On two occasions in my guitar journey, I've been kind of gobsmacked at how amazing the acoustic guitar is at creating a community around it. The first time was in 2006, 2007. I worked at the Old Town School in Chicago, and they took a crack at breaking the Guinness Book of World Records for the world's largest guitar lesson. Yes, over a weekend, over 1,500 people, just shy of 1,600 people, actually assembled in this park right outside the Old Town School to go through a guitar lesson together. And I have to tell you, being there was absolutely amazing. I get goosebumps just talking about it, and it just goes to show that how incredible of a community is created around this instrument that we know and love. And then fast forward some 10 years later, back in 2019, we actually held the Acoustic Life Festival here in Bozeman, and here's the community that is created there. Some Tony's Acoustic Challenge members got together, well over 100, and wow, what an amazing weekend where the acoustic guitar was indeed the focal point. So yes, community is a huge piece of evidence as to why the acoustic guitar is indeed the instrument of the future. And to give you a quick recap of all of the evidence that we've compiled here today, power or no power, the acoustic guitar is powerful. The acoustic guitar is a band in a box. The acoustic guitar can survive space travel. And because of material innovations, the acoustic guitar will last a long, long time into our future. And then, of course, lastly, community and the acoustic guitar being the conduit for an incredibly tight-knit community that we all experience even here on the Acoustic Tuesday show. So yes, these are my reasons as to why the acoustic guitar is the instrument of the future, but I want to hear yours. Did I leave something off my list that should have been included? Let me know in the comments below. All right, this week on Acoustic Tuesday, we've already reached a consensus that the acoustic guitar is indeed the instrument that will usher us into the future. You're also going to hear two guitars, one that features a futuristic tonewood combination, while the other, well, it's just straight ahead from the future. And lastly, you're going to get a chance to learn about and hear a local musician who's becoming more of a household name because the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine caught wind of what he was doing and shared it across the entire internet. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 150. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. But prior to doing that, I have to ask you a very important guitar geek trivia question. Now, you might be wondering, since the show is focused on the future, what the hell is Tony going to ask me about guitar geekism? Well, this has a lot to do with space, and here is your guitar geek trivia question. In which year did the first acoustic guitar make it to space? Was it A, 1965, B, 1969, C, 1973, or D, 1978? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. All right, diving right into the guitar geek list that awaits us today are two guitars that I think would find themselves at home on an episode of The Jetsons. Yes, you know that cool little spaceship that goes brrrr. Yeah, that's exactly where these guitars would find themselves at home. This first one, while not necessarily futuristic in terms of shape, features a futuristic tonewood combination, one that I have never played, therefore I see it in my future. See what I did there with the tie-in? It's futuristic, right? This is a Loudon F50 that has a cedar top and beautiful Macassar ebony back and sides. It was last sighted at Heartbreaker Guitar, so I'm going to kick it on over to Brendan so he can tell us all about this instrument.
The Thanks, Tony. Hey guys, it's Brendan and Toby the Beagle here at Heartbreaker Guitars Las Vegas, bringing to you the Heartbreaker of the Month. Let's take a look. Okay, Acoustic Tuesday friends, this is the Loudon F50 in Macassar Ebony. It's got a California cedar top, an ebony board, ebony head facing with go-toe tuners. This baby's got a 25 and a half inch scale and a 1 3/4 inch nut width. Special thanks to Juan John on guitar, buddy. Great job. My name is Brendan. This is Toby the Beagle, and we are Heartbreaker Guitars. Hope you guys enjoyed the Heartbreaker of the Month, the Loudon F50 Cedar over Macassar Ebony. Tony, back to you, buddy.
All right, to learn more about that guitar, please head on over to heartbreakerguitars.com. You'll be able to see that guitar, all the pictures and the nitty-gritty specs, in addition to all the other amazing guitars that they keep in stock. All right, let's hop aboard our UFO, and now we're going to truly visit a guitar from the future. A guitar you may have seen before, but in my opinion, in my hands, it felt certainly futuristic. And yes, this is the Fender Acoustasonic Stratocaster. This is a guitar that I received some months ago, but kind of held off my review because, well, for reasons I'll share with you within the review. Here it is. So the Fender Acoustasonic Stratocaster. When this guitar first came out, as I mentioned before, I was skeptical. And I saw tons of reviews being released right away upon the initial release of this guitar. And even though I had one, I wanted to wait to share my review and my thoughts with you because I wanted to wait for the novelty to wear off. Whenever something's new, it's very exciting, and we're all excited about the new features. But what happens a month after you have it? What happens 2 months after you have it? Does the novelty wear off? Do you find more uses for it? Well, that's exactly what I'm going to discuss right here, right now. I'm primarily an acoustic player. I only play electric guitar seldom, if ever. And I thought that, well, this is cool. This is an electric guitar that looks like an acoustic guitar, but what's it going to do for me? What's it going to provide me as an acoustic guitar player? And I found some very interesting things as I dug into the guitar itself. That was just a small snippet of the Acoustasonic Stratocaster review by Fender. If you want to check out the full thing, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT150. And that's where I go through all the different sounds that it is capable of and give you some spec details as well. And I also want to know, just right now, I want to ask you what you think about the Fender Acoustasonic Stratocaster. Is it for you? Did it surprise you? Is it definitely not for you? Let me know in the comments below. I'd love to hear what you have to think. And speaking of comments and the fact that that guitar was basically on board a UFO, let's go ahead and hop back into our UFO, turn it into a time machine, and head back to episode 148, where we pitted Martin guitars versus Gibson guitars. And holy smokes, were there some comments on that episode. If that episode proved one thing, it's that the guitar geeks certainly have opinions, which is totally awesome, and it created some great discussion. I've selected a couple of comments that I want to read with you here. This first one comes from Thomas N., and he says this. Hey, Tony. Another great show. I wanted to weigh in on the Martin versus Gibson debate. I have several Martins. My main gigging instrument is a DCPA-5. I had a bandmate with a J45, which I got to play and do some minor adjustment work on for him. After playing both, I think there should be another category. Bang for your buck. I think Martin wins this one as well, mainly because of the level of quality they deliver for the money. Don't get me wrong, Gibson delivers excellent quality as well, but model for model, Gibson tends to be more expensive. With a comparable Martin, you simply get more for your money. Well, thanks so much for that comment, Thomas. You know, and your experience weighs in pretty heavily here, so I appreciate you weighing in on the debate. Our next comment comes from Tom D, and he says this, "Great show, Tony. My first guitar was a Martin, and I have since acquired a couple more Martins. I look forward to the day that I can afford a nice Martin. But as a guitar geek, I also look forward to the day when I can snag an older iconic Gibson as well." And Tom, you certainly speak for all guitar geeks in this category, I believe. In fact, this reminds me of an instrument that was the one that got away from me. It was a 40s Gibson HG00. So basically like an L00 with a square neck. You'd play it Hawaiian style. Beautiful instrument that I unfortunately sold and should have never done so. I'll shed a tear for that later. Now is not the time. Let me move on to the next comment. And this one comes from Arthur S. He's weighing in on the sustainability category and brings in some important facts. Here's what he has to say. "I can't disagree that Martin might be the leader in sustainability overall, but your suggestion that Gibson got around to sustainability only in 2019 is not really accurate. I specifically bought a 2016 Gibson J15 because of its use of sustainable woods sourced from North America. That opened my eyes to walnut as a tone wood, and I give Gibson credit for even using walnut for the fretboard, which is very non-traditional. The J15 is largely a walnut J45, but the use of sustainable American woods won me over. They have since introduced several other walnut-based models. Though I don't currently own a sustainable Martin, I do own other Martins and am a fan of the brand. They do have the OME Cherry, which adheres to a similar design philosophy as the J15 in terms of being American and made from sustainable woods. The only discrepancy I find in your assessment is that sustainability has been a consideration for Gibson earlier than 2019. Well, Arthur, I certainly appreciate you bringing this up, and by no means, I'm sorry if it came off that I said Gibson only started their sustainable initiative in 2019. I was simply citing an instrument line that caught my eye that definitely fit the sustainability category. I do admire Gibson and their sustainable efforts, you know, reaching back to, I even believe, farther than 2016. But I appreciate you clarifying that and making sure that all of us guitar geeks were on the same page, because we want to encourage all these companies to certainly take strides in that sustainability category. All right, let's move on to our final comment from that episode. This comes from Poor Boy Rider 1, and he simply sums up basically the entire episode in one simple sentence. "I like my Martins, but if you find it hard to put down, don't matter the name." And I couldn't agree more. If it sounds good, if you love it, if it inspires you, if it makes you create, then it is good. And simply whatever's on the headstock doesn't even matter. So thank you so much, Poor Boy Rider, for that comment. A very much a truism. And I want to thank everybody for the comments on that particular episode. And of course, all the Acoustic Tuesday episodes. It's so cool to get the different perspectives, get the different opinions, and see them displayed in a way that are, you know, really nice and supportive, not mean and finger-pointy. So thank you very much for your kind interactions. All right, moving on, I got a little bit of a news update for you. First, a mailbag arrival. This first one comes from Chuck H. He sent me a nice letter saying, "Man, I was looking forward to cheersing with you at Acoustic Life Festival 2020, but because of the cancellation due to the whole COVID situation, obviously we can't." So he sent me these picks that he had custom engraved to hand out at the festival. And in addition to that, speaking of the cheers moment, he sent me a set of six skull shot glasses, which just went directly to my heart. I mean, I am long infatuated with skulls. I love the imagery. I just think they're cool. And to see these shot glasses with little skulls is pretty darn awesome. So huge thanks to Chuck H. And Chuck H. is also the creator of my famed skull pen that I enjoy and use frequently on the show. So thanks so much, Chuck H. I appreciate that. Now, I want to share a guitar signal with you here in a moment, but we're currently running a promotion that has some interesting details. First step is this. I want you to go to acoustictuesday.store. Once you're there, you're going to see the classic Guitar Signal shirt, but you may very well see some other designs, because we're currently developing new designs for the Guitar Signal shirt. They are not done yet. As of this moment, as of the taping of this episode, they are not complete. However, when this episode airs, they may very well be complete. So you want to go to AcousticTuesday.store to check those out. And while you're there, when you order one of these classic Guitar Signal shirts or one of the new ones, make sure to add promo code GUITARGEEK. Yes, promo code GUITARGEEK on checkout, because that will get you free shipping within the U.S. on your entire order. And I believe that runs all the way through the summer. I think the cutoff is the end of August for that. So yes, go to AcousticTuesday.store, pile up on some merchandise, and don't forget to get free shipping with the promo code GUITARGEEK. And again, speaking of Guitar Signals, let's go ahead and dive into one. This one comes from Clarksburg, Maryland, comes from Angelo M., and he has a pretty awesome Guitar Signal for us to have a look at. There he is with his custom Gibson J45 Walnut, speaking of J45s and Walnut, going back to Arthur's comment. But let's go ahead and look at the full collection, and here's what he has. So Angelo has an Epiphone Casino in natural finish, a Fender Dragon Jimmy Page Signature Telecaster, a Gibson Les Paul 60s Tribute Gold Top, a Martin GPC RS GT, a Fender Strat 1963 John Mayer Black, and a Gibson Custom Shop J45 Walnut. Now, one of the things that I think is so cool about this Guitar Signal, if you noticed it, you're a guitar geek, and I certainly noticed it as soon as I saw this, is beside each guitar, there is a player that is most known for playing that type of guitar. Next to the Casino, we got John Lennon. Next to Jimmy Page's Tele, we got a picture of Jimmy Page. Next to the Gold Top, we got Slash. And of course, next to the Mayer Strat, we've got John Mayer. Very cool, geeky thing within the Guitar Signal there. So I appreciate you sending that in, Angelo. And if you want to be just like Angelo, you can follow the same three simple steps that Angelo followed. Number one, order yourself a Guitar Signal shirt. Angelo hopped on AcousticTuesday.store, picked out a Guitar Signal shirt, and had it shipped directly to his door. Second thing Angelo did is he got that shirt, he put it on, and he took a picture amongst him and all of his guitars, amongst all of his guitars with him in it, I should say. And then lastly, Angelo headed on over to AcousticLife.tv. Once he was there, he clicked the submit link in the top menu, he uploaded his picture, and he told us all about those guitars in his Guitar Signal. So go ahead and do that, and I'll feature you on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, one of the things that I am really starting to look forward to on the Acoustic Tuesday show is the Guitar Gratitude segment. This is a chance for us Acoustic Tuesday viewers to get together and listen to one of our fellow guitar geeks share something that they're grateful about that the guitar has brought into their life. And today, we've got Elliot Garcia, who's opening up about the opportunities that the guitar has gifted him. Here's Elliot.
Hi. I know I have a lot to learn to consider myself a guitar geek, but I'm grateful of my guitar because it opens a window of opportunities to learn something new every day, not only from Tony's lessons and challenges, but also from the guitar geek community around the world. I'm grateful because the opportunity to learn from the community, but most importantly, because besides becoming a better guitar player, I am becoming a better human being. Thank you.
I want to thank Elliot for submitting his guitar gratitude. And if you're sitting there thinking, I want to be just like Elliot, I want to share something that I'm grateful for that my guitar has brought into my life, please do so. Visit guitargratitude.com. Once you're there, you'll be prompted to submit a video, which you can record right there on that screen. And once you do that, I will see that submission and feature you in an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday for you to share your guitar gratitude with the entire Acoustic Tuesday family. All right, moving on to our last item of the day. This is our artist feature, and I'm so excited to share this artist with you. His name is Dan Dubuque, and he's become much more of a household name just recently because of his cover of a Rage Against the Machine song on his acoustic lap-style guitar, also known as a Weisenborn. Yes, he posted this video of him playing Killing in the Name Of, which is a Rage Against the Machine song. The guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, Tom Morello, caught wind of it and then started sharing it all around the internet. Lo and behold, in a very short time, the video amassed 1.1 million views and counting, and holy smokes, hi Dan Dubuque, how are ya? Now, Dan used to come into Music Villa all the time when I worked there, and since we were both slide players, we would talk about strings, picks, slide bars, you name it. So to see him get this type of recognition is really cool and very well deserved. Now, Dan also has a knack for creating his own arrangements in addition to covering other people's songs. So let's actually start with the covers first. Here he is covering Jimi Hendrix's song Voodoo Child. Dan has this insane knack for covering songs, but really kind of creating almost new songs out of these covers because his arrangements are so darn cool. But as I mentioned, he creates his own compositions, and they're fantastic to listen to. Really a treat. Here's one of them entitled Finley Point. Because I found it, and because it's a song that I want you to hear, I want to share one more of Dan's songs with you, filmed in the same location, right in front of the Flathead Mountains here in Montana. Here is Dan playing his version, not his version, his actual song, Song 3. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Dubuque, a local Montana singer, songwriter, and just an all-around stellar player. To learn more about Dan, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT150, where you'll be able to see those performances in their entirety and, of course, learn more about Dan. All right, we are about ready to close up shop here. We're about ready to close up the show. But first, I want to harken back to your Guitar Geek trivia question. Yes, indeed, I asked you a question at the beginning of the episode, and I have to deliver that answer to you. But a quick reminder of what your question was before I deliver the answer. Here it is. In which year did the first acoustic guitar make it to space? Was it A, 1965, B, 1969, C, 1973, or D, 1978? Well, if you answered D, 1978, you're correct. The first acoustic guitar in space is believed to have been aboard the Soviet Salyut 6 space station, first played by Alexander I. Ivanchenko in 1978. Guitars have provided musical, psychological support for crew members aboard space stations ever since. In fact, astronaut Chris Hadfield, who you're familiar with now, having long since returned to Earth, recently explained on Twitter that the guitar is actually there for scientific reasons. NASA psychiatrists had sent the instrument up to the International Space Station way back in 2001 for mental health reasons. The guitar was launched into space not only to help resolve any cabin fever from being cooped up in the International Space Station, but to help astronauts cope with the jarring change in perspective that comes from looking down at the pale blue dot where we all live. Pretty amazing stuff to imagine there's just astronauts up there floating around, jamming. And according to some of my research, it looks like the Larivee P-01 parlor guitar is kind of the official instrument of the International Space Station. There's two of them up there now, at least as from what my research tells. And I think that's pretty darn awesome to know that there's some music happening way up, you know, near the moon or however space works. I don't fully get the idea. The highest I've ever been is in an airplane. Anyways, I'll leave that alone. Let's take a quick sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, I will reveal one of the most important cities for us guitar geeks. I'll be focusing on where to go, what to do, and why this locale should be on your Guitar Geek bucket list. Yes, that's happening next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv, where you can do a deep dive on anything I've ever featured on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. Thank you so much for being a guitar geek. And remember, Guitar Geeks unite. I'll see you next Tuesday. Cheers.